did I get the stuff right? Did I present it right? Mm-hmm. So one of the ones that I want to look at is Vikralamba Seva, so it's a separation basically. Although I'm fascinated personally by Mahaprabhu and Raj, to speak publicly, I want to speak privately.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can start that in terms of looking at the difference between being separated and being in separation. It comes up a lot from time to time. And then, you know, like what we do about being separated but not in separation.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of relationship. And then the next stage, you know, of why it's important to have a relationship. So I wanted to look at that from different angles of vision, but one of them was the importance of Prabhupada as Pandaracharya. And I have, you know, I have some understanding of that, but I wanted to clarify the understanding, and I also wanted to clarify the way I'm thinking to present it, because it's a subtle and sensitive point. So, this is what I've come up with, maybe as a handout, but I just wanted to see how you feel about it.
Our five two holdings put together at it means that we're going to rebuild manual.
This Prapana Prapanamrita Tapana, that's Ramanuja?
Yeah.
Okay. So these are his terms, Udarika and Upakarika.
Yeah. One of the points I wanted to clarify is whether the Gaudiyas use it the same way.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Because we take so much from it. That's the thing. These things are not a problem. The difference is just in the finer flavor. It's just like the Nimbarkas are they're Raghunuga Bhaktas of Radha and Krishna. But the difference is they're not. That's why the word Braja is used. They're worshipping Ananda Vrindavan. I don't know if they use the term, but it's
that's
not.
That's across the Viraj?
I'm not sure, but it's Radha and Krishna in the Kunja, but the point is they're in the Kunja all the time and never separated. So even these pastimes of separation, they point out that they're not separated. It means like they give the example of Prema Sarovar.
Mm-hmm.
That they're there. They think they're separated, but they're actually together, and so everybody's okay. So the element of actually being separated, they can't accommodate. So that's why, even though it seems that the Nimbarkas have already given Raghunuga worship of Radha and Krishna, so what's unique about Lord Chaitanya is actually this element of separation, that the full manifestation of Braj. So they're not, they're just like you have this these realms of Vrindavan in Aishwarya, you know, where it's Radharani and going with her maidservants. Of course, I think a million maidservants. She goes in a swan airplane to meet Krishna at the bank of the Jamuna. So the pastimes are the same, but it has this element of Aishwarya in it. So same way as that you have the Vrindavan pastimes, that you have the element that they're not separated, because that's too painful. You can't. But that's painful because it's we can't tolerate it.
Material conception.
Yeah, it's not so much that. It's just an element you just don't want. You know, you just don't want pain, because the living entity is Ananda, so they can't see the actual Krishna within the separation. His bhava mood. You know, so even when we're trying to explain Krishna's bhava mood, we tend to take it into, you know, physicalizing it. That he's physically present there, which the effects of it are, but at the same time he's not necessarily, you know. But because the point is Krishna, and thinking of Krishna are non-different. So if they think of Krishna, they are with Krishna. So in one sense they'll get the effect of being with Krishna, but it's simultaneously, because physically he's not present, they're getting the effect of separation. You know, so getting this, and that's what makes the spiritual more interesting than the material, is that the material you can deal with one sense at a time. But in the spiritual, all five senses can be functioning, you'd be fully conscious all five at once. So the material body can't handle that. to any serious degree. In Bhava, it will come in, I think, in the later stages from Apandas and like that, Sampatidas. But beyond just a mild touch of it, the material physical body can't handle. It doesn't have the strength to handle the static motions. So only a spiritual body. That's why you can't go beyond prema while you're still living within this body. That's why means you can come to the platform of prema while still in this body, but you can't go beyond. You have to be only situated in the spiritual to have attained that. Yeah. So therefore there's the element that it's just the soul can't handle the idea of the separation, and that it's not ideal to them. Ideal is Radha Krishna together. Therefore their point is Sambhoga is higher. You know, so that means, in other words, technically speaking, Narayan Maharaj is a Nimbarka. He's not actually a Gaudiya. Because he's saying Sambhoga is the higher, and also then so many of these Vrindavan Babajis and that, they're Nimbarkis, they're not actually Gaudiyas. But yeah, you know.
I was seeing it in terms of, that's interesting, I like that.
Yeah.
I was seeing in terms of mood, that his mood is more Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur rather than Rupa Goswami.
That's there, but then still, but Vishwanath is Rupa Goswami's
exactly.
mood.
Yeah.
You know, so if he's making, yeah. I mean, he may appreciate what Rupa has said through how Vishwanath has expressed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
That's another thing.
But to take Vishwanath over Rupa, that means you haven't understood Rupa or Vishwanath's relationship with him.
Right.
Like that. Because there is no contradiction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like that. The Acharyas will never contradict each other. They'll come in from a different angle because of the nature. Jiva will say, no, Radha and Krishna are eternally married. But he's not talking rasa, he's talking tattva. This is the point. But because the people he's talking about aren't mature enough, therefore they don't distinguish. They think he's talking rasa, so okay, then it's okay. They're married and they're just playing as if they're not married, so the parakeet is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he shows, well, actually they were married, Lord Brahma, when they were 3 years old, he came and did the wedding and this and that, and so many things like that. So, yes, they are married, it's legal, it's fine, but for taste, the parakeet gives more taste, because, you know, that you uncertainty and the freshness of it and like that, and then it's like, oh, great, yeah, this is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, his point is not contradictory. Devotees will even become bewildered. It's contradictory. He said no, because he's saying tattva. Because Radha and Krishna is the Lord and His energy. They're eternally, you can't separate them. But in rasa, it's parakeya, it's not swakeya. Like that. So that's the thing, Jeff, is a matter of the acharyas will never say anything wrong and they'll never contradict each other, but they will speak according to time, place, and circumstance. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakura is speaking to an audience of basically atheists. And so he says, he opens it by, the descriptions of hell given in the scriptures are imagination. So by definition, by colloquial definition of imagination, that means it doesn't exist at all. It's just it's just made up. And so then they'll go, oh, this guy's a little broad-minded. He's a little, you know, critical of the Shastra. Let's hear this man. But if you look at it, he's saying it's imagination, means it's on the platform of mind, means that it's on the subtle platform that you're being, chopped up and roasted and fried and baked and sautéed and minced and, you know, whatever else, you know, is coming along in their culinary science, you know. Because it's not experienced on the gross physical platform, it's on the subtle platform. So it is mental, because you still think I'm this body, and so when they throw it off a cliff and grind it up and, you know, do whatever they do with it, you suffer because you think you are that when you're not. It's just, it's not a physical body. So it is imagination. You're imagining those realities are happening, but the pain that comes from it is your imagination. Because you identify with it.
Same as we do here.
Same as we do here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that would be another example. So it's like, you know, is that what I mean by liberation? You know? Because it's a tattva, it's a point of tattva, but because the reality is rasa, therefore it means tattva alone only means something to Krishna. You know, because he is Atmarama, we're not. We're dependent. We can be Atmarama on the material platform. It means that we're not needing anything here, but on the spiritual platform, we can never be Atmarama because we're feminine. We have to be attached to the masculine. Therefore, there's only a question of rasa. That's why for us, then, tattva stops at bhava.
One question that came up, but I didn't ask it because it would be a side issue in the context of what you were talking about, is that, I don't know exactly how to say it, but for the devotee, aren't we more concerned with being what Krishna wants us to be and do at any time rather than whether we're liberated or not?
Of course. You know, we're not interested in liberation. I'm only pointing that out to bring upon the point that generally devotees don't give much credit to the Madhyama Bhakta. So that's why it was just being brought up as a point to show that the Madhyama Bhakta is not something to sniff at. You know, it's like it's real. There's substance there, there's power there. They can dynamically help you get out of the material world. And because the founder Acharya, therefore they're giving you Uttamadharakari instructions. You know, to the degree of their realization, but it is Uttamadhikari instructions. So you follow it, you will go back to Godhead. Bhagavatam is coming from the platform of the Uttamas. So you follow it, given to you by a Madhyama, you will get out. So the whole point is what gets you out is not the body of the Uttama, it's the instructions of the Uttama. There's great advantage to being in the close proximity of the Uttama, but you're actually going to go back to Godhead because of accepting the instructions of the Uttama. So, therefore, the instructions of the Uttama are delivered to you. Therefore, Prabhupada gives the example of the postman. He doesn't add to it, doesn't subtract to it. He gives you as it is. It has potency. So all these points are being made, and just like the iron and fire. If you're in the fire, it's as good as fire. You can't complain it's not fire. Just go ahead, touch it, and then let us tell us what you think. You know, so these are all elements to try to convince us that Madhyamas are okay to follow, you know, and as a platform is necessary, like you saw there. Well, do we have to bother with that? Can't we just go from neophyte to Uttama? It's like, if you can, great, that's the first recommendation of Krishna, you know, surrender in the moment, you know, but still there's that moment of transition. So, okay, you 1/11th of a second, you're a Madhyama, great, no problem. And that would be the recommended process. If you can't, then follow sadhana bhakti. Like that. You know, but sadhana there means naishkarmya. You know, it's basically pancharatra, it's not Vedic. You can't do that, then the third option is naishkarmya within Vedic. If you can't do that, then it's sakam within Vedic. You know, I mean sakam yoga, you know, but and if you can't do that, then just, you know, be a karmic, you know, a karmakandi. You know, at least you're nice, you're feeding people, opening hostels, doing things that devotees might benefit. By accident, you'll give some money to devotees. You know, or your hospital will do something for a devotee because you're pious, you'll do things, and devotees also will be your concern, though not specific. And if you can't do that, then okay, try to get out of the material world being a personalist. You know, okay, that's the bottom of the barrel. You know, it's like last option, you know, like that. So even being a nice guy is better than being an impersonalist. Yeah. Okay. Also, this thing of fearless means is that they establish the understanding of your relation with Krishna. Because when we don't know the relation, then we become fearful. Because actually, our fear comes from, I don't want to recognize I'm serving of Krishna. I'm afraid of that, because that means I'm not God, means I got to surrender, means I got to do what He wants rather than what I want. So that's why, you know. So when you're fearless means, you know, you're not even worried about the body or family or this or that, because you're not actually losing anything. it's all Krishna's anyway, but he's given you this to work with to do service. You know, you got to do some service. What can I do? Okay, sweep the floor. So you get a floor, you get a broom. You know, you get some dust on the floor. So that's what you do your service. But then they say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, we were going to shift you from sweeping here to washing the dishes. Oh, no, what about my floor? What about the dust? Who's going to pick up the dust? What about the poor broom? No, it's just a medium to express your, you know, so then you go to the kitchen and then you wash the pots. Mm-hmm. So there's no fear. Mm-hmm. So that's an element of that.
That's a fabulous point you made the other day about that, how the protective potency is independent from what you think is protecting you, like the externals. Mm. Such a powerful point for myself and for preaching. I felt great relief actually just to hear it and then
practice it.
Oh, okay.
It's really good.
Because it removes fear. Because liberation means you're free from, you become fearless. It doesn't bother you anymore. So there's no fear of loss. Because that's what we're afraid of.
I felt it with the second stroke. Because, you know, I made a point of just having Prabhupada chanting constantly. And when it happened, it was like the chanting just became a pivot. And the body was distorting all over the floor, and it was just like it was, okay. It's okay.
These things happen. Bodies do this kind of stuff.
And it's just like Prabhupada just kept my mind riveted. Mm-hmm. It was such an incredible experience. Yeah. It was worth it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is this, that's why it uses the term, one has to be bold enough to do that. Mm-hmm. Because generally the thing is that I should be good, either I should be good and I should be attached to the family and what I'm losing, or it's just I am attached and I don't see anything else. So bold enough to actually take that stand that I'm just going to leave it all. It's actually a very bold step, even though you may say, well, you're losing it anyway, but still it's a matter of whether you, say, someone was telling me yesterday that there was a statement, they saw this like documentary thing. And it was a interview. I guess it was a televised interview of some Jews who survived, you know, like Auschwitz and all that. Mm-hmm. And you know, so right after the war, you know, so it would have been in the '40s. So then they were saying about, you know, he was describing what was going on. So they said that must have been you're very glorious that you went through that and survived that. You know, and you know those who died, and it was very you know like this and that. And he says, well, actually, no. He says people are being shot and killed all the time, so being shot and killed is not something special. He said, but maintaining your dignity, and while they do all that to you, that's glorious. You know, like that. So. Even though all these things are happening to maintain that position, that no, it's only Krishna. You know, that's special. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the boldness. So that boldness can be practiced before death. You know, at every moment, is that boldness.
That's what I liked about the way you said it the other day, because it just triggered. Actually, because I have such a favorable memory of that stroke,
uh-huh.
And I sort of, you know, like, but to be able to, now I've got a key to actually practice it now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
instead
yeah.
of waiting for the next one.
Yeah, yeah, you don't have to wait for a stroke. Yeah, but Krishna's so kind, you know,
yeah.
The way he works.
That's really good.
Then he gives purposes. Yeah, called Mahagrantas, Vaishnava's Acharyas. It's very important, the Acharyas. Because Ramanuja's thing was Vedanta, Pancharatra, and the songs of the previous Acharyas. Mm-hmm. That was his three things.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, it's interesting, Prabhupada does that, you know, it means Bhagavatam, you know.
What was Ramanuja's?
Vedanta, Pancharatra, and the songs of the Acharyas. Like that. And you see Prabhupada also, you see, you know, it's the scriptures and that, the deity worship and the songs. But now the songs kind of disappear. Deity worship also a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop there. He gives purpose to the song, his very name becomes identified with the philosophy of Lord Vishnu himself, for such is his transparency and potency. Yeah, I would say in here is that what you're saying is you could bring this out more a little bit more, I think, if you mention here, because you mentioned here's a siksha guru, a siksha can't be limited. I say instead of putting in the negative, of course, does not minimize the position of a Guru Maharaj. You know, so you could say this position makes us more aware and eager to strengthen our relationship with Srila Prabhupada directly through his teachings and, you know, through the you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And bring out the, and then in the previous, bring that out here, which basically you're doing, but make it a little bit more strong is that by the present guru presenting the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, then that is to make us aware and able to, you know, more seriously, you know, practice those. In other words, what Prabhupada is giving is that's the you know, uttama, or the, you know, the, how you say, the topmost instruction. So if anyone helps you understand and practice that, then you're getting the same benefit as if having learned them directly from the person.
Mm.
You know, so a person has direct connection with Prabhupada through his books. But at the same time, as we need to be, you know, ensure that we, how you say, are understanding that and practicing it. Otherwise, we'll read the books and we may or may not practice. When you say, "Oh, I just read the books," that's enough. But mm-hmm. we have to ensure that it's going on. So even Prabhupada's mm-hmm. disciples, you know, technically are supposed to take shelter of their senior god brothers and god sisters to ensure that they're actually following what Prabhupada's given them. Even though they're directly connected with Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it works, you know.
Mm.
It's just, that's the way Krishna likes it, is that it's working through people, no one's just independent and direct, because otherwise then, if you just say, oh, it's just me and Prabhupada, well, why not just you and Rupa Goswami? His books are there too.
Mm.
And Gita is directly Krishna, so why not just you and Krishna?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that, it comes down, the potency, the connection, we get it through the parampara, but when we read Gita, we're directly hearing from Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're hearing nectar devotion. We're directly hearing from Rupa,
mm.
like that. So
and it's through the glasses of the charts.
Yeah, but it's through there. But it's mm. that's why it's transparent. But mm. it is you're associating with Krishna, not you're associating with them. And then no, you're directly associating with Krishna,
mm.
but through their medium. Mm. It's by their grace that you have mm-hmm. that. So Krishna likes it that way. He doesn't like directness. Direct is him and Radharani, boss. That's it. You know, the spot is full. You know, unlimitedly full. You know, and everything else after that is following the devotee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mother Jashoda, Sridham, Sudham, mm-hmm. you know, Subal, you know, Dhanishta, you know, Madhavendrapuri, they're all actually following Radharani.
Mm.
You know, though they're the heads of their line. So you could say they have a direct relationship, which in one sense they do, but actually it's to assist in Radharani's pastime. So technically, Rupa's mentions, technically there's only one devotee.
Mm.
But otherwise, as far as practical culture, you'll say, you know, Radharani's there, and, you know, and Mother Jashoda's there, and, you know, Sridham and Subal are there, and Dhanishta's there, and, you know, Madhavendrapuri's there. You know, or Sarabi's there, and like that, you know, mm-hmm. I guess head of the cows. So then you could say that they're the ones that are the devotees and everybody else is following them. But actually they're also following Radharani. So the spot of direct is already taken. You know, so therefore everything is coming down through.
That's because she personifies the Flavini Shakti?
That's there, but it's she is the Swarup Shakti. So mm-hmm. every aspect of Krishna, every masculine aspect means all the elements of Shaktiman, she is the Shakti that matches it. So that's why only she can fully please Krishna, because there's nothing that Krishna can't do or desire that she doesn't have an element to complement it.
Mm-hmm.
While anyone else, it's an expansion. There's going to be elements as an expansion that they don't have.
Mm.
So that's why no one else other than Radharani can fully satisfy Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she gets angry when she's off with someone else, because they can't fully satisfy him.
Mm.
And that annoys her. She's not angry that, you know, she's not with me. She's angry that only I can satisfy, so if he's not with me, he's not fully satisfied. That's why she's upset.
Mm.
You know?
Do you think it's not just bringing up the, like, changing this negative to positive in a lesson?
I would say.
Okay.
I would say. Because otherwise then it throws it. It's not minimizing, but because that means that it is being minimized. So in here I would just, because it's just a one-page thing,
mm-hmm.
just present it, you know, this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then if you want to deal with those things, you could have those as separate points. It means anything that you think that might come up as doubts or misgivings.
Well, that's why I put it in there, but I take your point that it's better to make it just a
means point, make so. The point first that is
yeah.
clear. Because this
okay.
is your conclusion,
right.
you know, or work this in before,
okay.
you know, then make a conclusion that's solid.
No, I like your idea of just like presenting that. It clean first
yeah.
and then deal with it.
Yeah, but then you can have, if, let's say so many questions come up and all that and points, make them. You can just have a whole bunch of, you know, points
mm-hmm.
after that. Is that, you know, here's the thing on the Founder-Acharya, and then, you know, and these are questions, you know, whatever comes up, let's say from doing it, then let's say, 5 different points or 10 different points come up of doubts, and answer those, and then make another paper that you have. And these are for, you know, mm-hmm. this is the tattva
mm-hmm.
of it and all that, and then, you know, these are doubts people have mm-hmm. compared to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand what's reality, then you can deal with exceptions.
Yeah. Did you have anything else to say on that one?
No, it looks very nice.
Okay.
I didn't realize that he gave these 5 qualities of the...
Yeah. I just want to strengthen people's understanding and faith.
Yeah.
And what Prabhupada has actually given.
Yeah. You might try to find something about Ramanuja so that they'll take him as an authority. You know, otherwise, well, that's Ramanuja. We don't care. So it's like, so what do we care for? We care for Kavi, or we care for, you know, it's like the Mr. Levi's, or, you know, Yves Saint Laurent, or, you know, who is our, you know, do we care for?
Mm.
You know, your devotees, when 9/11, when the buildings went down, and then somebody was just making the comment, they deserved it anyway, you know, there's Malachas and Yavanas. Another devotee very seriously was saying,
but then other things that came to my mind, but I haven't been able to find any authority for it, is that this stage also, the stage of Nista, just from how I experience things a little bit, is that it would also mean, things start to remind you more of Krishna. You know, you see things, Mr. Hotramata, this can't help but think, every time I see him, I just think of Jagannanda Bandha. And it's so wonderful. You know? But I just, like that. So, and, you know, like, it's stuff that happens.
He speaks whatever he feels like. Nothing to do with anybody.
But it's so many, the mannerisms, so many things. But, you know, so like that, but there are things, you know, you start to see things in terms of, you know, like, how they relate to Krishna. But also, you start to see Krishna more in things, especially in terms of like what's happening. And it's a very strong reality. Like, just give you an example. Like the other day, I went to the Bhagavad Gita reading, and usually they chant 18 chapters, but this time for some reason they chanted 6. So I was on my way out the door because I had to go and meet somebody, the same Pakitama that I left yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the devotee came running out and said, no, they just turned around and Chinayama just said they're stretching their legs, you know, like, come back, they're going to have this thing. So I came back, and in coming back I saw the devotee that I was going to meet. He's in the temple, so I saw him. And then that same devotee came up to me and said, no, I was wrong, it's not going to be any more chapters, it's only going to be the 6. So I just say, you know, Krishna didn't want me to waste time, so he arranged this whole thing. So that, you know, it sort of like happens a lot. So, but I don't want to talk about my own circumstance unless I can understand that that's basically what this means. That when we're talking about form coming, becoming more prominent, that it's like not only in terms of spurti, but, or, you know, being more preoccupied with Krishna within the duty form, but also just seeing Krishna more in everything, and also seeing everything more in Krishna.
Mm-hmm. No, it'd be all, it means how you could say it would be the difference would be. It's basically is whatever it is, it reminds you, but when you think of Krishna, basically it's a deity or a particular form that you like. Mm. But it's not dynamic in that he's with his devotees.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's different from there. Mm. Also then qualities then would mean that it's Krishna and there's a particular quality that comes out with that form.
Uh-huh.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Okay.
It means, you know, his sweetness, his kindness, his, you know, his intelligence or his beauty or, you know, whatever it may be, but it's still not dynamic with his devotees.
Uh-huh.
Pastimes means it's him and his devotees and it's dynamic. You
uh-huh.
know, it'd be like remembering an activity.
Uh-huh.
But form would mean that you whatever is the inspiration, either you just happen to spontaneously think of or something reminds you of, but when you think of Krishna, you think of, you know, just him, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be. So you can see as it just naturally grows from the form, then there's the qualities.
That's
and
what
then
I want to explore.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
instead of, you know, it's either here or here.
No,
it
moves. That's the whole thing about our philosophy is everything. There's nothing that's not consistent, so it doesn't can't go from one to the other.
Mm.
You know, it's you know what they would call nowadays seamless. You know, there's no, it's not compartmentalized. It's like it's predominantly this, but you'll have gotten that from a pastime. You'll have gotten that form from seeing, you know, Krishna with Radharani, and so then you remember this particular deity or. And there's some picture that, you know, you especially like, so you remember him in that form, or
mm-hmm.
somehow or another, just maybe some way you just yourself, you know, have a form that you think of, and but it's still just going to be a form that's not necessarily dynamic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the element. It's just it's him, you know. You remember him like
but
that.
But it's not bad to see it in stages like that when you're
looking
at it.
It will. Its point is it's going to come like that anyway.
Yeah.
It's just like. You know, we haven't heard of somebody. Then they tell them the name. We heard the name. It brings up no picture.
Right.
Just we know that there's mm-hmm. you know John Smith. Okay,
mm-hmm.
John Smith. And so, therefore, when they say, "Oh yeah, this guy John Smith is coming today," you recognize it. Yeah, John Smith. I've heard that name before. Then you see John Smith, right? And so then you know, then when somebody says, oh, John Smith is coming today, then you remember whatever it is you saw. You know, something in what you're seeing stood out, and so you'll remember that. Then if you actually interacted with John Smith, then, you know, oh, yeah, he was nice, or he was, you know, very formal, or he was, you know, very congenial, or, you know, the guy was a jerk, or, you know, whatever it is. So then the next stage is quality. So when I say John Smith, you go, oh, yeah, that guy. Or, oh, yeah, he was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then finally is that when it actually comes intimately interact with them, then you remember, oh yeah, John Smith, we went out, we had a great time, we went here, we went there, we did this, we did that. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? So it's anyway, that's how relationships are established. So it's going to be the same with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
It's not different.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Our material relationships work on exactly the same formula.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that, you know, and there's a process for that. If you want to know the name, then you have to hear it from somebody who knows the name, you know. And if you want to know the person, you know, it has to be pointed out who he is. You know what I'm saying? You have to go through somebody that they point them out and bring you in. Same time as you do have to make contact. You know, so unless you're connected with Krishna, how you'll think of him, unless you're cultivating that, how you'll find out his qualities, you know. And unless you know what the pastimes are, how will pastimes become? Why would you want to go into the pastimes unless you've heard about them? Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise it just starts with, yeah, he's a great guy, but you say, you know, and then you find out he was a nice person. And then he says, no, he has these, you know, programs where he goes out and he does these things and it's really nice and everyone has a great time, you want to come. But it's only because you've heard about them, then you'd be actually interested to take part. But then once you've taken part in it, then that is your reference. So when you hear the name, you think of the pastimes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. I was interested in what you said yesterday about the Prajumna principle.
Yeah. Because Prajumna is desire. Prajumna is Cupid. Mm-hmm. So Prajumna is Madan Mahan.
But it's also predominantly given mind and senses?
He's predominated, he's technically, it means the mind from the element that intelligence controls the mind, and that the senses are directly connected to the intelligence. But actually, the experiences of the senses and what things you'd want to engage the senses in actually come from Aniruddha, the mind itself.
Uh-huh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because the intelligence is, means senses work by intelligence, means they can discern between something. It's cold out and you go sit in the sun and it's warm. So the intelligence discerns that this is warm, and then the mind goes, this is nice.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So the experience is coming from the mind. So the prayojana is the mind, is Aniruddha.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual, you know, sambandha that, you know, you have yourself, you have the sun, and you have the experience of warmth, that's all sambandha. But that you're attracted to warmth, that's sambandha, that's prajumna. That you the sun, and is there, and you have a relationship, you know, and if you sit there, you'll get warm, that's shankarshan. That's the other half of sambandha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why Balaram is so.
Sambandha
has two halves,
mm-hmm.
Shankarshan and Prajumna.
Oh.
Means you have the elements of the field, and then you have the desire to gain the results of that field. In other words, you're attracted to the operating the field.
Oh, I see.
And Prayojana is you're attached to the result gained by operating the field. So there's a difference there between the two. You know?
Thank you.
Yeah,
okay. Sorry to take so much of your time.
Yeah.
I was trying to say in Friday, but I didn't have any luck. So.
Oh.
I guess it's like that. Thank you. I seek your blessings also. I start up a Dashamrita today.
Oh, okay. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Trying to do something real with it.
You want to get them so that they, one of the things would, they appreciate the importance of sadhana bhakti in the way of vaidhi sadhana. At the same time, they acknowledge and accept that Raganuga sadhana is an important part of sadhana bhakti in a process. So when it comes up, don't be afraid of it. But if you exclusively take it.
With it straight from today.
Yeah.
Because in the handbook that they've given out, I mean, I don't know where it came from, but it doesn't make any sense to me. They've got 1 to 8 Vaidhi Bhakti. 1 to 7 Vaidhi Bhakti. 8 Raganuga.
Hmm.
So I'm going to use it to point out the importance of hearing from someone who's representing the acharyas as opposed to just reading the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know the example of a map? Like it's on the fourth floor, you don't read that on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So I've made a whole chart showing that, you know, like Vishwanath talks about the two sides of the leaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you go up like that, then it goes this way too. If you want Gaur-Narayan and you want Vaikuntha, it goes this way if you want Goloka. You know, I'm going to hit him with it right today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get away with it.
There's also this overlap. It's just clean. This is this. This is that. Because it's also a nectar devotion. You see, that some will say that. I think from the second chapter they start Vaidhi Bhakti, but actually it's only sixth chapter starts Vaidhi Bhakti because before that is Samanya Bhakti. Because if they say that, then why is it in those first five chapters they're discussing prema and what? Because what is it giving you the fundamentals so that you'll actually understand when they talk about it?
Yeah,
you know that's Samanya. So it's Samanya is like an overview, a general overview.
But somehow that's the Upadeshamrita. That it's basically for those who are interested in this goal and this path. This is the overview.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard that it was Rupa wrote it after Nectar Devotion to kind of give it in a simple, straightforward way, so that people could understand what he was trying to present in Nectar Devotion very quickly.
Oh, really?
I've heard that, but I can't confirm that. But I was
from my own feeling. I got the feeling that he put the Vaidhi and the Raghunuga all together in the Bhajasana Sindhu, and then separated up, so that those who actually want to follow Mahaprabhu, that's why in Bhagavan,
mm-hmm.
he gave up Buddhism because it's just the direct path. It's just and so much on attitude.
Yeah, because the point is Nectar Devotion will be what is the process itself, but there's always an attitude that goes along with it. Because the point is the process, applying it is intelligence, but the experience of it is the mind. Because Anubhava is experience. So within those five aspects of Bhava, you take Anubhava to be Abhideya, but it's actually just the experience of applying it. You know what I'm saying? You understand?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the point is that you're trying to get a goal, but it's the it's the experience of the process that actually is of interest. That's what you say. The interest is there in the chase, not in the catching.
So the actual experiencing that side of it is the subject of vows.
Yeah, I mean, those would be there. You would count those as probably more your sattvika bhavas, your sanchari bhavas. That would be what you probably call your prayojana of it, because those are the result of it. But the anubhava is the experience of the service itself. Then that service and the experience of it, that anubhava, will generate those sattvika and those sancharis.
Because quite often I've read so many not the acharyas, but present people, they talk about it in terms of external symptoms.
External symptoms manifest from the subtle, because it's only because there's a feeling, then the external symptom comes. So you can tell that the ecstasy is increased because of the sattvika bhava. That's based on the stai bhava. So stai bhava would be like what we're saying, the sambandha means the shankarshan aspect of the sambandhas means it is, you're in this relationship with Krishna. That's just fixed. That's why stai, it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Then the vibhava will be what actually generates the desire to operate it. You know, so that would be the Prajumna aspect of it. You know, the Anubhava will be the Vasudeva aspect of it, because that's where the pastime is taking place and the experience is generated from the path, from actually serving Krishna.
Then this is something I really want to learn from you, Maharaj. It's like seeing these different aspects, the Vasudeva, so basic, and I don't know how to work it.
Yeah. Once you catch these, just where they fall, and then your sattvika and your sancharis will be results of operating it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you need the other two to operate. You have to have a relationship. You have to have a desire to operate it to actually have it. Then the service is rendered, and that will, while the service is there, there is an experience. That's the anubhava.
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that experience will give you the sattvika and the sanchari bhavas.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's just looking at it from there. So
yeah.
it's that's the why Govinda is so important, because it's the experience of the service that's important to Krishna, not the result.
Mm.
Right? So you even see the devotees even kind of push down the result if it gets in the way of rendering service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like that. Because it's Krishna's result. You know, so for Krishna, just the experience of that, that's what he's looking for. Because he's already Atmarama. So it's already, you know, your position of just satisfaction means no need, and you know, being fully satisfied is already accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So then his need becomes to interact with the devotees and the experience of that. So for Krishna, the Govind aspect is actually what's important to him, you know. But to do that, you have to be attracted. Therefore he does all these things to attract and to increase the pastime, so that the quality of the pastime will be better. And if you increase that, then your need to engage in that pastime becomes stronger. So therefore the quality will be there. So that's why the Madan Mohan and Gopinath elements are there, just to enhance the Govinda. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
So Sankarshan is the field, and
Prajumna will be the desire.
Desire.
Yeah, both of those are Madan Mohan. That's why I said Madan Mohan is attractive.
By field, you mean relationship?
The relationship and all the elements of that would be required for that relationship. Like Mother Jashoda, you put her out in the forest and it's the wrong field. You put her in her house with all her maidservants and a big kitchen and, you know, furnitures and beds and ornaments and clothes and all that. Then her rasa can thrive. But Cowherd Boy's houses get in the way. You know, you break things and there's walls and, you know, stuff like that. You put them out in the forest, and except for the trees, then there's no obstacles. You know, and anyway, you can climb the trees. You know, they can't climb the walls. I mean, kids do climb the walls when they're in the house, but that's because they're not trees. So they're going to climb something, so therefore they should be out in the field. The gopis can be out in the field because then, you know, it's romantic and it's open and nobody's there, it's private, but at the same time it's fresh and, you know, it's changing, and, you know, just being in the same room can get boring. You know, except for the privacy element, but if you can create privacy out in the open, then that's preferred.
If I don't want to use Sanskrit terms, I just say relationship, everything needed to facilitate it, and desire, just those two.
Yeah,
so
means the field of activities that Krishna presents, and then the desire to work with and get a result from that, or it's actually, it would be the desire to get a result from the field. So the field and the desire to get a result from the field. Now attachment to that result, that's prayojana. Because it's just like you walk by a store and you see something there, and what you're doing is Shankarshan. You're looking, does that and me have any relationship?
Right.
And if it doesn't, you just keep walking. If it does, you stop and look. Then you think, yeah, that would be nice. That could be used this way, that way, but it's still intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, I could use that clothes in this occasion or that occasion like that. But it's only when it goes to, I need that, I want that, then it's come to prayojana. Then you walk into the store and buy it. But before that, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we could wear it, this and that, and that, and then you just walk on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may think about it later, that was nice, but until that contemplation deepens, then only it becomes a need, an attachment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's saying by contemplating the objects of the senses, then the need arises,
mm-hmm.
the attachment arises. So if you don't contemplate them, you know, or they're only contemplated analytically, then no need arises, because the contemplation, that desire, that's Cupid. So if you use Cupid analytically, you actually dissolve Cupid. What I'm saying is Cupid works by not using your brain.
Right.
So if you use your brain, then you take the same thing and you can analyze it and dissolve it. So that's how you know if you can function there, is if you can analyze it without increasing attachment, then do that. If it increases attachment, then wait and get more into the karma. You know, in other words, karma yoga is for you.
Mm-hmm.
If by contemplating it only increases your desires in that, stick to karma yoga, because then you're physically active, you're fully absorbed, you will be purified. Well, the other one, then you'll start in that, and then you'll just get thinking about it and get more and more attached and not getting purified. Mm-hmm. But jnana yoga works is when you can contemplate it, pick it apart, and you know, and you're, you know, quite comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I hope it's going to go.